Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Timothy Cook. The New Testament reading for today is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus was invited to the wedding. That's what we're told in John 2, verse 2. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And then we're told that the wine ran out. It'd be like getting invited over to someone's home for a ham dinner, only for the host to inform you that they don't have any ham. If a man is going to build a tower, doesn't he first count the cost to see if he has the resources to complete it? Someone has dropped the ball. Guests were invited to a wedding, but there aren't enough resources to entertain the guests. As far as crises go, this isn't the most traumatic. A planning oversight for a wedding reception is hardly as traumatic as a cancer diagnosis or a house fire or even the loss of one's job, but it is a problem nonetheless. And Jesus is there. When Jesus' mother makes him aware of the lack of wine, Jesus replies, "What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." To our ears, Jesus' reply seems calloused and uncaring. Jesus sounds like a man who can't be bothered with trivial matters. If this was the way that God answered our prayers, we'd likely never talk to him again. But don't let the unexpected tone distract you from Christ's words and subsequent actions. Jesus alludes to an hour. He says that his hour has not yet come. The hour to which Jesus refers is the hour of his suffering and death, evidenced by Jesus' own words in John 17:1, where he prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." This hour is what Jesus is all about. This is why Jesus, the Word become flesh, came to earth. He came for that hour, where he takes on our sins and failures and griefs and sorrows and kills them with his death on the cross. If your kitchen sink is clogged and you call a plumber to fix your home, when he arrives, you don't put a paintbrush in his hand and ask him to touch up your faded front door. He's certainly capable of doing so, but that's not why he's there. Our lives are clogged with sin, and the Lord has promised a plumber, so to speak. He has promised us a Savior who will free us from the sin and her handmaiden's death and the devil. Jesus is certainly capable of furnishing wine to those who have run out, but that's not why he has left the glories of heaven to come to earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of grace, and his grace overflows. It's grace upon grace, as John 1 verse 16 says, and so Jesus does both. He meets the temporal needs of the wedding party while keeping his hour of suffering and death front and center. Jesus was invited to a wedding to be served. But before he left, Jesus was the one who did the serving by turning a whole bunch of water into a whole bunch of wine. How does the service by Jesus keep his hour of suffering and death front and center? It does it in 2 ways. First, the overabundance of wine is a frequent Old Testament image for the final salvation that is secured by God for his people. And second, the sign of water into wine foreshadows the righteousness that we poor sinners are credited because of Jesus' merits. When Jesus turns the water into wine, who gets the credit? It wasn't Jesus. It was the groom. John 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves a good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now.'" The groom did no such thing. He didn't keep the good wine till last. He ran out of wine, and it was wine of a poor quality at that. And yet, the intervening work and service of Jesus Christ is credited to the groom. When Jesus' hour finally comes, he suffers and dies on the cross and then takes his life up again. Jesus pays for the sins of the world. Jesus atones for our failures, and yet solely because of Christ's work, we are the ones who receive the credit. Jesus' work is our righteousness. It is to us that our Father in heaven says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The wine that Jesus provided to the bride and groom was not hoarded or treasured. It was shared and enjoyed by others. So it is with the righteousness of Christ that is credited to us. We don't hoard it. That's not a light we put under a bushel basket. We let it shine before men, that they may see your good works and so glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Please pray with me. Almighty God, you created man and woman and joined them together in holy marriage, thereby reflecting the mystical union between Christ and his bride, the Church. By your infinite goodness, let your blessing rest upon all husbands and wives, that they may live together in your glory in this life, and with joy may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.